is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A tradition unlike any other was slightly delayed this morning, but we are underway in round one of the Masters from Augusta National, and we are underway right here on this Thursday edition of the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonatoni with you. Michael, how we doing today?
We are great, Stormy. Masters weekend, you gotta love it. The weather moved out, no problem with the delay, and now we got some wind, which always makes it fun. So sit back and enjoy the ride. This is the best tournament for me to watch. I know Gary Player thought it was the fourth ranked in his rankings. I'm not sure I get that, but nonetheless, I'm enjoying it, and we've still got football to talk about. We got the Masters, and you know, you're getting ready for that NBA playoffs. I know you are, Stormy.
Oh, yes, of course. The last couple games of the regular season are a proverbial bleep show, but we'll see how things play out and who ultimately cements their seeding. But you said it. We've got a lot to get to on the program today. Lots of NFL with the draft now officially 2 weeks away as well from Detroit. Coming up in a half an hour, VSiN's own Mike Somich, professional handicapper, host of The Handle. He'll join us, give out some of his favorite plays and thoughts, as well as Mike Palm, the last half hour of the program in hour two, like he does every Thursday. Palm's pressing three. It's been a minute since we've got that in, so excited to have Mike Palm join us on set. But let's start off here real quickly with some of these early thoughts on the Masters, because that star grouping, Michael, is going to get underway in about 10, 12 minutes or so. World number one, plus 450 favorite to win it all. Scottie Scheffler, as well as Rory McIlroy, Xander Schauffele, set to tee off here soon. Schauffele, my SDSU guy, you know I have to root for him.
Absolutely. You know, and look, I think wind certainly plays a factor. The new par, the lengthening of the par five is going to play a factor. You know, what 15 does, I think it's going to be interesting to see. We haven't been exposed to this, you know, as non-members to Augusta. So we don't know exactly how this is going to shape up when the pros come down there. But, you know, Monday, to me, these are the 2 days where all you're trying to do is get a feel for the course and stay within contention, and then Saturday and Sunday is when you have to do it. It's hard to have what Tiger did, what was it, 99, when he went coast to coast and dominated the field. I think the clear thing that the Masters does and Augusta National Country Club does is they review the course after every year, and they make changes to the course that they feel will put more intrigue into the game, like lengthening the par two to put the bunker in play, or just doing things to make the game more challenging and have you shape shots. Because we know, you know, Bubba Watson, a left to right player, was still able to win the tournament. Lee Trevino did it left to right, but it's always hard to do that. It favors the right to left player here, but they've been able to overcome it like Mickelson has done in the past. And he's out there. I think he's one over on the day right now.
Yeah, and the most well-known player having success here early, Bryson DeChambeau, tied at 3 under for the best score so far. But obviously, we are just getting underway. A long, long way to go here for Masters weekend. And because of this weather, Michael, it appears that today is going to be the worst of it. That overnight rain and everything that we saw early this morning with the severe thunderstorms. The rest of the weekend, Friday through Sunday, should be relatively warm, sunshine, beautiful conditions for these players. So I'm excited for that. But what I'm not excited for is my Tiger to make the cut bet right now, Michael, because his tee time today with this delay, 2+ hours for all of these players, has pushed him to starting at 1 o'clock my time, 4 Eastern, which means the sun's going to be setting earlier on his round, probably not going to finish it. So any of that hope I had of him getting off to this great start is probably going to come down to a crashing halt tomorrow if he has to play 24. The course is so hilly. I worry about his body holding up. So when I heard that news this morning, I was like, okay, well, there goes that idea.
Yeah, well, I mean, don't give up on it yet, because look, I mean, he's got an opportunity. It depends, too, on the weather conditions. You know, as the rain came in, and obviously the drainage system, and look, I'm no groundskeeper, but this course drains very effectively. And they said it was playing with a lot of firmness. And I think certainly the first group out with the rain will benefit the greens, and it'll take a little bit of an adjustment, you know. But once you get that feel for it, and if it stays the way it does, I think Tiger, look, it's going to be hard for Tiger. We know that. At his age, we know it's difficult to walk this course and do all the things, especially when you've got a lot of hardware in your body. But if anybody can, it's Tiger. I'd never rule him out. I wouldn't give up on it yet, Stormy. I wouldn't pull a Will Hill and give up on the bet already.
All right, I appreciate you. That's true. He hasn't even teed off yet, so maybe I should relax. And to your point about the weather, last year...
I think Will Hill's influenced you way too much. I think there's nobody who gives up more on their bets before they, after one bad shot than Will Hill. And now he's influencing you.
See, that's what happens when we spend two full days together at the start of the week while you were in the Bahamas. I was getting influenced. But to your point, though, about the weather, last time when Tiger had to withdraw, it was like windy and cold conditions. The warmth maybe will help the back and knees out a little bit here. As we mentioned off the top, we are 2 weeks away from the NFL draft as well. And with that comes some burning questions that producer Elliot and I have put together to get us started here today. And I'm going to start at the very top of the draft, Michael, because we know and at least presume Caleb Williams is going to go number one overall to the Chicago Bears. With that, are the Bears a playoff team, Michael?
You know, we were on the pod today, Ben Wilson and I, and he kept asking about what's the next Houston, right? What team could be the next Houston? And certainly with Caleb Williams' ability and the roster that they have assembled in Chicago defensively, and if they stay healthy, you know, you got to believe this team could become that. Now, that staying healthy certainly got to be an issue because we know Swift is the third team in 3 years. You know, can he stay healthy and be the player that we all think he is? Two teams said that's not true, but I think he's still a good player. I do think that they can improve. Now, the problem is Green Bay's really good. And Minnesota has yet to be determined whether they're going to be really good or not. They're going to add more players. They're going through a little bit of a rebuilding year, and it depends on who's going to be the quarterback alongside of Sam Darnold. So I could go for the Bears. I think they have the Bears or the Patriots, to me, fit the category the best of what the Texans did last year, which is if they get a quarterback to come in and play at a high level behind a new offensive coordinator, they can make that jump forward. We'll see.
Yeah, see if one of them can go from worst to first. The Bears currently, in terms of the odds in the NFC North, third on the board at plus 265. The Lions, who made it all the way to that NFC championship a year ago, plus 150. Green Bay, plus 210. The Bears are minus 120 to make the playoffs next year. We'll see if they can do it with their new QB1. And as we look at all these mock drafts that continue to come out, Michael, a lot of people don't put trades in their mock. But as we're getting closer to the draft, we're seeing more and more of them in there. And one thing that has been fairly consistent is the Vikings trying to trade up into one of those spots to get a quarterback. Which teams to you seem the most poised to make a move and trade up in this year's draft?
Well, I think there's a few of them, right? I mean, the Raiders certainly could. We know that, right? I mean, the Raiders signed Gardner Minshew. You know, they're thinking about moving up. I could see Penix being a guy that the Raider organization, particularly Mark Davis, would like. I think the Giants are in play, as I wrote about in the column. I mean, why would John Mara say if they felt like they were going to move up and they loved the guy, I would support it. And then Joe Sheen comes back and says, you know, if they go 1, 2, 3, 4, we'll get the second best non-quarterback in the draft. Well, clearly that's what he thinks is going to happen. So he didn't rule out picking a quarterback. He just ruled out that he basically said to get one of the four, you're going to have to get to the top four. Does that mean they trade up? I don't know. But I think, to me, the Giants, I think Minnesota, and I think the Raiders are the ones in play. Because, look, New England has one quarterback on their roster, essentially. Bailey Zappi's there, but Bailey Zappi, you know, we know that he got cut last year. He tried to come back and play, not the same player. And you got that situation. So how else are they going to get a quarterback without Jacoby? They need somebody next to Jacoby Brissett. You know, Washington just has Marcus Mariota. They need somebody. So, you know, those two teams, based on their depth charts, are going to pick quarterbacks. It's what does Arizona do and what can Arizona get? And I think all this trade-up talk is really what Arizona wants. This is the best thing for Arizona, out there trying to sell the pick with nobody without having to sell the pick.
Do you have, Michael, a favorite prospect in this year's draft? And I know we talk so much about quarterbacks, but you can go anywhere on the board here. Just a player that really stands out to you that you think can be a difference maker at the next level?
Well, I think Dallas Turner certainly can help a lot of teams, right? And I think there's no question that his ability to come in and rush the passer is what a lot of teams need. And I think that could be – I think the Alt kid from Notre Dame – is going to be a really good pro. I think anytime you can get a left tackle in a draft like this, I think it's a great opportunity. Those are always for me, Stormy, the free agent, the players that I like the most are the ones that can impact the game and come in and make a difference in the fronts in the defense, offensive and defensive line. That is the sense of the game, and that's where it all comes from.
Yeah, Dallas Turner, the favorite to be the first defensive player off the board, and Joe Alt of Notre Dame, his draft position sitting at 8.5, -7.5, -220 to go under, +180 over. So the projection is he is that best offensive tackle up front wherever you're going to go. What do you believe is this draft's biggest strength? I feel like tackle is one that has been talked a lot, wide receiver as well. What do you feel?
I think it's offensive linemen. I mean, I think it's really the offensive linemen, whether it's the Fanous kid from Penn State, who's really a very good player, right? You've got Fauga from Oregon State. Man, this is challenging me today, Stormy. I'm going to need a lot of help here. Latham from Alabama. You know, you've got so many of these guys to go along with Alt. And look, you could say, well, we can get a guard in a later round. Can you? Can you really? You know, and I think to me, that's going to be the strength of this draft. There's so many guys in that category that are going to be really solid players. And if you can't get the right guy, then it's pretty good to take a solid player. You know, there was one year where two guards went in the top 10 picks. Yeah. Now, they didn't work out. They did not work out at all. But you could see it, because if you're going to keep that pocket firm, and we know based on what, you know, the Carolina Panthers paid Robert Hunt, $20 million a year, guards have tremendous value. Why not pick him in the first round?
No question about it. By the way, with Fashanu, we just call him Olu. There's a lot of letters in that first name. Olu Fashanu, all you got to do. We're going to hit the break. News or noise coming back. Plenty more NFL talk on the way. This is the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you haven't checked out the new and improved VSiN.com, now's the time. All of that same great content you're used to, but with a fresh new look. You have all of our VSiN hosts and experts, best bets, the betting splits page, exclusive articles, including a weekly column from our own Michael Lombardi, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides, and a whole lot more at VSiN.com.
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise.
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
And it's good to start with something from an NFL insider here, Michael, because this isn't actually a report. This is something that was said on NFL Live earlier this week from Adam Schefter that... are we reading into a little too much or not? So he said that the Cowboys might be a sleeper candidate to draft a quarterback in this year's draft, saying at some point in time, they might have to draft a quarterback higher than you'd think with Dak going into the final year of his contract. Might be time to get someone in there and start grooming him. Is that news or noise, Michael?
Oh, I think it's huge news. And I don't think Schefter would say that if he didn't know more than what he's saying. That's the one thing you always do when it comes to Adam's reports. He couches it so that he protects the person, give him the information. He dangles it out there. He kind of knows more than he's saying on pretty much everything. And he wants to get it out there, but he doesn't want to get it out there where it's a definitive, because obviously we know everything could change. But look, I think Dallas is in the same spot that Minnesota was in with Kirk Cousins. Enough is enough. We've paid a lot. He wants more, more, more. And you have no leverage if you don't get a quarterback. And I think Jordan Love has enticed people to want to go down this road. I think this is news. I think it's valid. And I think it's something, if I were Jerry Jones, I would definitely do.
Michael, you know what my first thought was when I heard this? What does that say about Trey Lance, who you went out and grabbed from the 49ers?
Yeah.
Like, I thought that's what you were trying to do with him, is groom him. But clearly, I mean, he's not even 24 years old. You're paying him $5.3 million, and no belief there if you go and draft a quarterback, that's for sure.
Well, they know him, right? So they've watched 17, 18, 19 weeks of practice, and they can see him, and they can go in and have a really good idea about what the player's capable of doing without having game time. So I do think they're comparing this draft crop to Trey Lance. And if Jerry was sold on Trey Lance, I don't think Adam would have this report. I think you're dead on accurate, Stormy.
We go from Schefter to Scheffler. World number one, Scotty Scheffler and his wife are expecting their first child, Michael. And he told reporters that should his wife Meredith go into labor, he's going to leave the Masters. I mean, you think about it. He's already won one a couple years ago. This is his first child. But news or noise, if she goes into labor early, Scheffler's out of there.
I think it's news. I mean, I think it's big time news. You know, I don't know if Mrs. Scheffler wants him to leave, but, you know, obviously he wants to support his wife. You know, I don't know. I was in there. I couldn't look, but I was there. I'm sure knowing my wife, if I had a chance to win a tournament, she would say, you stay there. I'll take care of this. But, you know, times are a-changing, and I think ultimately that comes down between the couples. I know that I would not give up the opportunity to win a championship if my wife thought I should stay. But if she wanted me there, then obviously we know who makes that decision.
Yeah. Sam Burns.
See how politically correct I was on
well
that?
Well done. Well played.
What would you do, Stormy? What would you do on that? Like, let's take a hypothetical here. You know, Chris's got a chance to win the Masters Saturday. You go into labor. You want him by your side or you want the green jacket?
I mean, this isn't fair asking me this.
I know your answer.
This isn't fair asking me this because of, like, who I am and, like, the way that I was raised as an all-sports-all-the-time human being.
I know your answer.
Go get the green jacket and bring that cash home, homie. But not everybody's like that. And I'll say it's not only Scotty Scheffler, Sam Burns' wife. Apparently her due date is, like, next week as well. So both of them potentially on their way out if their wives go into labor. According to...
I mean, horrible timing by both.
Awful.
I mean, you got to go... You got to say, look, we got to keep April clear on birthdays, right?
Aren't you supposed to plan these things out? Come on, man. According
exactly.
to DraftKings, house rules, if either withdraws from the tournament after they have already begun, full tournament bets will be graded as losers. So keep that in mind if you did take the plus 450 on the favorite in this spot. We talked a little bit earlier about the Raiders potentially trading up in the draft. And according to a report from ESPN's Paul Gutierrez, owner Mark Davis has, quote, given his blessing for Tom Telesco and Antonio Pierce to make a move, any move, so long as it makes sense. News or noise, Michael?
Oh, I think it's news because last year the Raiders were trying to move up to get a quarterback and the price was so steep. I don't think that Mark Davis felt it was the right value for the deal, whether it was for Stroud or for Young, but they were in play for the first pick in the draft last year. There's no question they were in play. And then Carolina blew him out of the water and made this incredible offer. And I think Mark Davis was kind of, I would say not happy, but I think Mark Davis was like, are we going to give up all this for an undersized quarterback? You know, part of Mark Davis running the team is he still has a lot of his father's legacy within his education. So, yeah, I could see that. I could see them doing that. I think it's really on Telesco to figure out which one they would have to move up to get. Is it Drake May? Who is it? You know, what would they have to do? Could they stay where they are and get Penix behind Minnesota at 11 and they're 13? That remains to be seen. But the one thing is, if they went up to 7 or 8, it's not going to be as costly as going to 3.
Yeah. My thought is I feel like they'll be able to get Penix where they are at just sitting there, and he would be a great option in my brain. But if you want a franchise guy and you really believe in one of those top three, you're willing to pull out all the stops. We'll see how that shakes out. One thing I do know for sure is Gardner Minshew's not the future and Aiden O'Connell sure as hell is not. Let's go to college basketball, Michael, where John Calipari had his introductory press conference and had some mixed feelings on the state of the Hogs program. Take a listen.
I'm jacked about another opportunity. Like, I'm like, let's go. Now, I met with the team. There is no team. So now I got to. Hunter's really extremely confident, but we got to get a roster together. And some of it is a little bit of everything, but we will.
First off, I feel very uncomfortable seeing him in that color. But secondly, news or noise, Michael, that Cal met with the team. There is no team.
Well, I think it's news because there is no team at USC, the one that Musselman's meeting with. Yeah. There is no team at SMU. There is no team when the new coach of Kentucky gets appointed. I mean, this isn't an Arkansas problem. This is an NIL issue. There is no teams. They change all the time. And so, like, don't tell me whoever gets the Kentucky job's meeting with 12 guys who are ready to go. We already know they're out of the draft, right? We know that. So this is just the league that we're in. It's not an Arkansas problem. It is a NIL issue. And it's going to continue to be that way. Look, Indiana State, I think, lost their whole team because their coach went to St. Louis. So now, you know, you've got all those things happening at every level, whether it's a Power Five or whether it's the MAC or whether it's, you know, the American Athletic Conference, whatever it is, it's going to change. So, look, I think, you know, what's fascinating to me, Stormy, is Cal received a hero's welcome in Arkansas. I mean, a hero's welcome. Did you see the standing ovation that John Hunt got for when they announced it? They're in the stadium. They're in the basketball arena. It looks like it's packed. And they were going crazy. He got a hero's welcome. In Lexington, they wanted him gone. And the guy that Cal replaced has been to the Final Eight two of the last 3 years, where Cal hasn't even been seen around there.
No.
Everything is perception in the world we live in. Right? It's just so much perception. It's remarkable. You know, he got to hear. I mean, look, MacArthur didn't get this kind of welcome when he came back from the Far East.
And Michael, the perception is right now that who wants the Kentucky job? We just keep hearing more and more head coaches declining the opportunity. Scott Drew, the latest, he's staying at Baylor. So what's going to happen there in Lexington, Kentucky? I don't know. We got one more here I want to hit you with, because our boy Elliot has turned the page from the Purdue Boilermakers to his Indianapolis Colts. And apparently Anthony Richardson is on a mission in his comeback, has a video out there of him back out there on the practice field. News or noise, Michael, that he is on a mission?
Well, I think it's news. Look, I think the number one objective for the Colts is to make him a passer. Because if he's going to keep running around, it's going to be hard. Right? It's going to be hard. And I think the number one objective for Shane Steichen is to get the offense tailored to where he is a passer, not a six-back runner. And I think that's going to be critical. But this kid's got enormous amounts of talent. And I said this, I thought he should have gone back to school for one more year, and he probably would have been the first pick in the draft or the second. But he got picked so high, it didn't matter for him to go back to school. You know. And I think ultimately this is the year where we're going to see all that potential. Is it real, or is it, you know, the situation where, you know, you are where, you know, potential has two meanings to the word, right? We know that. And so I think that is the case, and we'll see how it works out.
Potential can make you optimistic, or it can just mean you haven't done anything yet. According to ESPN's Stephen Holder, he's up to 30 to 40 throws per day during his shoulder rehab. He said, I've never had to wait this long to get back to playing football. I'm on a mission this year. Once that mission's complete, then I'll be good. We're hitting the break. VSiN's own Mike Somich joining us coming up next. Don't go anywhere. This is the Lombardi.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There's never been a better time to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook, because right now we have a VSiN exclusive offer for new DraftKings customers. You can earn a $500 bonus bet for every 1,000 you wager, up to $2,500 in bonus bets your first 3 days on DraftKings. Don't wait. Download the app now. You need to use our code Lombardi, though, when you sign up. L-O-M-B-A-R-D-I. Earn $500 in bonus bets for every 1,000 you wager right now. And right now on the Lombardi Line, we're going to do a little bit of a role reversal here. 2 weeks
Absolutely.
In a row, we're going to do this once a week, where Michael, you put the host hat on a little bit here.
Yeah, absolutely. And let me start by saying, as soon as we did this last week, I got a text from somebody in the National Football League and said, boy, that girl really knows her stuff. So this is long overdue here on the Lombardi Line. We appreciate Stormy being the host, but she also provides some incredible information. So let's start with the Masters, Stormy. It begins today. Everybody's excited. But in your warning, you believe that everybody loves to bet the long shots, but don't go too far down the odds boards.
Yes. So I love, by the way, that this is a storm warning after we had a storm weather delay at the Masters today. But my warning here is, yeah, just don't feel like you have to chase a long shot at the Masters this year specifically. I know that in the past it's been profitable, right? You think about Hideki Matsuyama in 2021, cashing a 46-1, Patrick Reed in 18, a 50-1. It's not an exact science. The last four winners were all first-time winners. But this year feels different, because of who these favorites are. And sometimes, Michael, when you look at an odds board, the favorites are the favorites for a reason. Scottie Scheffler has been remarkable this year. He's a plus 450 favorite. I know that we're running the risk of his wife going into labor and him potentially leaving, but he is the favorite at this number for a reason. He's priced like prime Tiger. Why? Because that's the level that he's playing right now. He's won two of his last three starts, top five in five of his eight PGA Tour starts in 2024. He's the top golfer in the world and a recent former Masters champion, put on his first green jacket in 2022. These long shots are fun, and I'll never say don't bet what you believe in, but sometimes the short shots are short shots for a reason, and I just wouldn't get too far down the board for the Masters this year, in my opinion.
No, and I agree. Nobody sneaks up on the Masters. This course has a certain style that's required to win, and that's why we see repeat winners, green jackets. I agree. I think your warning is well taken, because this is a hard course to dominate the first time you play or even the second. So let's shift over to another sport that I thought had a resurgence, and it's been building for years now, and we saw it come forward with women's college basketball. South Carolina had a historic season going undefeated, beating Iowa. I mean, I read today where Caitlin Clark was responsible for $82 million of benefits around the tournament, people spending money at these cities. So we know the ratings are incredible. We know that people are captivated by the women's basketball game. What's your warning going down the road?
So my warning here is that Michael, my biggest picture talking about this is that I have been so excited for the women's game and where it's at right now, right? And you think about the historical ratings that this Iowa South Carolina game set, outrating the men's game by a mile. 18.7 million average viewers peaked at over 24. Yet, as I am looking through my timeline every day here, it's so much negativity in terms of Caitlin Clark's game's not going to translate to the next level. She's going to have to face grown women and she's going to take a step down. Oh, nobody's going to care about women's college basketball anymore after Caitlin Clark leaves. Nobody's going to follow her to the WNBA. Da 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 da. Like, instead of just sitting here celebrating and embracing what has been a monumental historic accomplishment for women's basketball, that this year the women's game had significantly more star power than the men's game. Not only Caitlin Clark, but Angel Reese and Cameron Brink and Paige Beckers. And the fact that there has been exposure to some of these very young and talented freshmen that are coming up in the game, most notably Juju Watkins of USC. And the fact that people, like, yes, the ratings are going to take a dip after Caitlin Clark is no longer in college basketball. But isn't that what happens whenever you make history doing something? Instead of erring on the side of negativity, can't we just be happy that it happened? Can't we just be happy that people that have never cared to watch women's basketball cared this year, and that national championship was must-watch television for our country?
I agree. And look, here's the reality, too, is because the women's players, they come back. And so you get comfortable knowing who's in the game, and you start following them. And that helps the game. With this one and done, you really don't have it. Every year's a new year. As Cal said, look, there's no team here. So I think you're right. And that allows the game to have a sense of belonging and grow. All right, so let's go back to the NFL. All right, one of the things I wrote about in my book, Football Done Right, is the worst trade you make is get this guy out of the building. So what's your warning to the Buffalo Bills, and what's your advice for Bills fans?
So I'm not going to pretend like Stephon Diggs' talent isn't going to be missed, because obviously it will, right? You look at the last four seasons in Buffalo. He led the NFL in receptions, was fourth in receiving yards and receiving touchdowns in that time. But you know what will not be missed, Michael, is a diva that's on the decline. And you think about the tumultuous relationship that has been clear and evident that he's had with Josh Allen and with the team. I just think getting out of that locker room, it's going to be addition by subtraction for the Buffalo Bills. I mean, his play even has taken a step back. We've talked about it a lot on this program. He didn't have a 100-yard game after week six of last season. His yards per game dipped. And while I know his role changed under the new coordinator, just because your targets are slightly lower doesn't mean your efficiency with those targets shouldn't be what it has always been. And so to me, I don't know. I say if you're Buffalo, go get a wide receiver in the draft. Go get Brian Thomas down there at 28, if or likely when he's available there to pair up with Curtis Samuel and Dalton Kincaid, who's developing at tight end. And yeah, there's going to be a lot on the shoulders of Josh Allen, but given the division with which they play and the ifers in the Jets, who I don't think anybody right now can firmly count on that roster staying and being healthy, healthy. The Miami Dolphins, who have significant issues, especially defensively. And when you think about everything that they're giving up to sign Tua Tagovailoa to a contract, and they can't beat a good team. And then the Patriots being on the outside looking in, don't just auto fade the Buffalo Bills because they don't have Stephon Diggs anymore. I think it could be a good thing for that locker room.
You know, I think you're right. Subtraction is good. And we make such a big deal. You know, the quarterback's the point guard, Stormy. And the point guard gets the ball to the receivers. And what we saw with Patrick Mahomes was willing to do to win a Super Bowl, it's almost like we have amnesia. We don't remember that he made the difference in the team and made the receivers better. So I agree. I don't think it's all doom and gloom for Buffalo. I really don't. I think Bills fans should just embrace the fact that culture matters in the locker room. Let's stay on this football trend. The most discussed topic, obviously, is the quarterbacks in every draft. And there are plenty of teams that are looking for a franchise guy. But give us the warning about trading up. And I think people should listen to this clearly. Teams, I mean, not people.
Historically, it has not been your friend. If you are trading up in the NFL draft to take a quarterback at 2, 3, or 4. So I'm talking to you Giants. I'm talking to you Vikings. If you're going to trade up to get into that upper echelon to pick your quarterback, here are the results historically for those who have done so. Trey Lance, Sam Darnold, Mitch Trubisky, Carson Wentz, RG3, and Ryan Leaf. Do with that information what you will, but it doesn't smell success if you're talking to me. Also, the last time that quarterbacks went top 10, that four quarterbacks went top 10 was 2018. The results there, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, and Josh Rosen. We have one of those that works out. Lamar Jackson was on the outside looking in at 32. These players that are reached for in the top of the draft, the majority of them do not work. The last time we had quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3 in a draft, 2001, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance. Also in that first round, Mac Jones and Justin Fields. Reaching for these quarterbacks does not always work. In fact, it works a whole hell of a lot less often than it does work out, and him being your franchise quarterback, generational talent that we love to throw around. So just, I know that none of these teams are listening to me today, but be cautious, okay, that you're going to have a problem solver quarterback draft when you trade up for number 4 and JJ McCarthy.
They should listen to you because the facts don't lie. History tells us. We know if 5 go in the first round, 3 will be bust, and there's a good chance that 4. And there's even a better, there might be a chance that all 5. So I think your warnings should be taken note of, Stormy. There's no question.
It's just one of those things, Michael, that I feel like we get so excited and attached to these players. And honestly, I think Minnesota might be the best landing spot for a quarterback to go to with all of the talent and weapons around them. But when we're talking about these players as if they are day one, surefire starters, going to change the trajectory of your franchise, more often than not, it doesn't work out.
And what's your warning for bettors out there in the draft market?
Yeah, I would just say great example of shopping around and trying to figure out different opportunities to bet the same thing because there are so many different markets, specifically up at DraftKings. Make sure you're doing your due diligence because you can bet the same prop for different prices depending on the market with which you bet. Bo Nix, a great example. He was minus 115 on the odds board yesterday to be drafted in the first round, yet his over-under position prop was 32.5 and the under was plus 120. It's the same bet, yet you're getting a plus money price on one and a minus number on the other. Specifically, the Broncos are the team going to, and he's plus 175 there. So just think all this through as you're making your wagers. We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Remember, here at VSiN, for a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free when you sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. But take advantage. This offer is for a limited time. VSiN.com/splits is how you can claim your free 2 week access to VSiN's betting splits.
No No doubt, no doubt, no doubt.
Do you disagree with these takes?
No way.
No way.
Or do you approve?
Oh, no doubt, no doubt, no doubt in my mind.
No diggity, no doubt.
It's time to ask Michael Lombardi, no way or no doubt.
Certainly is. It's time for No Way or No Doubt here on the Lombardi Line, starting in college hoops, because the list of candidates for Kentucky's next head coach is dwindling, and that is not by the choice of the university. Today we saw Scott Drew say he's staying at Baylor. Nate Oates says no. Jay Wright coming out of retirement, no. Billy Donovan said his total focus is on the Bulls, and Danny Hurley is focused on a three-peat, Michael. So no way or no doubt, Kentucky should reach out to Rick Pitino about a return to Lexington. What say you?
No way. I mean, I think they already know what Pitino's answer is, so it doesn't make any sense to reach out. I think who they should reach out to is Buzz Williams. You know, Buzz is exactly kind of what they want in their program. He's comes from a, you know, he recruits well. He's got a chance, you know, he's made the tournament. He's been able to play in the Southeast Conference, handle a lot of different situations, one at Marquette, one at West Virginia, one at Virginia Tech. I mean, the track record is really impressive. I don't know why he's not a leading candidate. In fact, I just saw on Twitter on the break about how Dick Weiss, the great basketball writer, used to be at the Philadelphia Daily News, great college basketball writer for a long time. He said, why isn't anybody talking about Buzz Williams going to Kentucky? I think it would make a lot of sense. I really do.
Very interesting. And for a second there, I thought that we just weren't interesting, that our music died out, but we got it back. Let's keep it rolling here and go to the NFL. As part of the deal to acquire Stephon Diggs, the Texans essentially tore up the final 3 years of his contract, giving him the ability to leave and become a free agent after this season. He also got a raise for next year. The Texans took the $3.5 million guaranteed to Diggs next season, moved it up to this year, assuring him $22.5 million guaranteed in 2024. No way or no doubt, though, Michael, that Stephon Diggs will decide to remain a Texan and they'll have him as well for more than one season.
No way. He's going to the highest bidder. I mean, look, you know, he's wanted out of Minnesota. He's wanted out of Buffalo. He got his money. This is a pay for play year. And for Houston, you can't be in a better situation, because if he plays well, great. If he doesn't play well, oh my, right? You know, you don't have any trailing money to him. So I think this is a great, great opportunity for Houston to get the best, whatever is left in Stephon Diggs' year, right? I mean, we saw his numbers go significantly down, 2 yards per catch. You know, he had some critical drops that we're not used to seeing. But this team's a little different in Houston. He's not going to be the guy that you walk to the stadium or the coordinators say, we got to take him out of the game. No. Houston's got Nico Collins. They got Tank Dell. And then you'll take your chances with Diggs, which will really help Diggs out a lot.
Yeah, and to your point, he's certainly incentivized to have a good season. So we'll see what that results in beyond this year. Not his former quarterback, Josh Allen, but defensive tackle Josh Allen for the Jags signed a new contract with the team yesterday. He's only the third first-round pick with the Jags to sign an extension with the team since 2008. Another contract looming, of course, is their quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, who is entering the final season of his rookie deal. The team has to make a decision on his fifth-year option in the coming weeks. No way or no doubt, Trevor Lawrence will sign an extension with the Jags this offseason.
No doubt he will. There you go. There's our first no doubt.
We got one.
Yeah, he will. We got one. There it is. Elliot, good job. Yeah, they're in the process of negotiating. There's no question. I think a lot of this is in the timing, whether it's Tua goes first, whether Lawrence. But these are going to be really significant contracts. And I think at the end of the day, both quarterbacks, or I know at the end of the day, both quarterbacks are going to be there.
We're always talking about quarterbacks as it pertains to the draft, and the Vikings put together some draft capital with the anticipation of trading up from that number 11 spot. No way or no doubt, Michael, the Vikings should stay put at number 11 in the NFL draft. Would that make sense?
Well, based on the storm front we had and the warnings that you issued to everybody today here on the show, I think there's no question they should stay put, right? Why not? I mean, they should heed your advice perfectly, because it has shown through history. Look, it's pretty clear that history is a great indicator. If you don't understand past performance will predict future achievement, then this is the wrong business. We know that the quarterback position is hard to evaluate correctly. But we also know, even correctly evaluated, there's a chance for a lot of errors. And I think, to me, giving away assets to get up for the guy, you know, and I would have been at fault to do this too. You know, there was, you'd think, oh, I got to go up to get the guy. But you don't really have to if you're smart about it, because you, the alternative is you could have blown the pick, right?
No doubt that they should stay put. No way that they will, based on what we know about the NFL and teams at this point. Let's stick with the theme of quarterbacks here, though. Kirk Cousins says he wants Atlanta, Michael, to be his final destination. Here's the Falcons' new QB on the big podcast with Shaq.
I want this to be my final stop. You know, I don't want to do the deal. No offense, but I don't want to go play for the Suns and the Celtics at the end. I want to finish with the Heat, if you will, and be done, you know? So
something I said.
Yeah. So that's really my plan, is that I wouldn't play for another team. I'd finish with the Falcons. My boys are 6-5. They won't remember that I played in Washington. They will barely remember that I played in Minnesota. They're going to remember I played for the Falcons. And I want those to be good memories.
And of course, you think about the family connection there in Atlanta as well with his wife. Kirk Cousins, Michael, no way or no doubt, will end his career with the Atlanta Falcons.
There's no doubt he will, because like only Kirk Cousins could be thinking about his next contract. I mean, the guy's amazing. The guy doesn't pass the salt at the table. He doesn't do any. He doesn't share anything. He's already thinking about his next contract. He's like the coach who gets a job and starts texting his friends about the next job he's going to get. Like, come on, Kirk. How about winning there? How about giving something back to the city of Atlanta? How about the answer should have been, hey, you know, I'm only thinking about winning in Atlanta. I don't care what happens. I'm going to give my heart and soul to winning in Atlanta. Now, why would we say that? You know, I hope to finish my career. But if somebody comes and offers me 25 cents more, I'm off to the races.
He is the guaranteed money master. 4-year, $180 million.
I marvel at it. I say it with all due respect, Stormy. Mm-hmm. He leaves nothing on the table. When his table's clear, when he's done, the table is, there's no leftovers.
Somebody that Kirk Cousins knows pretty well, Dalvin Cook. Cook told KPRC2's Aaron Wilson on Friday during a workout that he's got it all. The tools are still there. He said, I didn't really get no reps last year. The legs are fresh. The resume speaks for itself. I'm still Dalvin Cook. I'm still that guy. No way or no doubt, Michael, that Dalvin Cook is still that guy.
I think there's some doubt. This one is kind of in between. I was big on Dalvin Cook last year. The numbers said that there's a decline that's going to happen. But look, I think this, he could be the guy for the first half of the season. If he loses his legs, then you got some issues. But for me, I think that it's a little bit in doubt here. I don't think it's, a lot of it's going to come to the contract. How much am I going to have to risk in terms of finances to make this work? I think that's the fundamental question that you have to answer. And if you can get a good answer there, then go for it. But to me, if he's looking for a big contract, there's too much doubt in that for me to do that.
He had four straight years going over 1,100 yards on the ground before doing a whole lot of nada with the Jets last season. The other team in New York, the New York Football Giants tight end Darren Waller, Michael, no way or no doubt, can still be effective if he decides not to retire and comes back for another year.
Well, I think Darren Waller, once you start thinking about retirement, Darren Waller's been thinking about retirement for 2 years now. I don't know why everybody's surprised. I mean, I went out and said it last year and got ripped for it because all the Giants fans got mad at me. Like seriously, you know, I think to me, this has been what's going on. He wants to be a musical entertainer. He wants to be a rapper. And good for him if he does it. Look, this guy's had a great career. You know, he came from Georgia Tech, not drafted, overcame an addiction problem, had some good seasons at the Raiders, made a lot of money. The Giants gave him a big raise. They gave up a third-round pick for him. And he's going to, you might as well just retire. I mean, like, he's going to get hurt again. He's not durable. And look, let's be clear. It's hard to say this, but there's no love. He loves being a rapper. He don't love playing football at this point in his career.
And his wife, obviously, Kelsey Plum of the Las Vegas Aces, is out here. If you want to be a rapper, Vegas, not a bad spot. He turns 32 in December, told Forbes recently he has yet to make his decision on his NFL future. Great edition, as always, of No Way or No Doubt when we come back. Final half hour of the program. VP of Circa Resort and Casino, where I'm broadcasting from here. Mike Palm will join us in studio, get the lay of the land on all things behind the counter, as well as Palm's pressing three to close out the day. We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.